Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to DL Uncut.
We are back.
I know I'm in a specific fraternity, not Omega, but the one of comedians. And there are certain things we hold dear. There are certain beliefs we have. And certain people who don't kind of hold up the, or like.
Hey, now welcome to DL Hughley.
They're kind of
uncut.
Of course, I'm DL Hughley.
Guess who I am? Jalen
you
Sanders.
Hold journalism.
We ain't got to guess.
Just tell these people who you are.
You know who I am.
As you hold for get yourself. To it.
Well, guess who I am? I'm ENJ.
All right. Look at the people from Best Buy. They don't know him.
Doing what you're doing.
Geek Squad represent.
Who are supposed to be able to call you?
Thank you. Big shout out to Ben and Jerry. This thing where they go, I don't want to talk.
We interviewed them a couple of weeks ago.
Sometimes shit is crazy.
And they sent me all the ice cream I requested. Jasmine's upset, and like, you don't eat any of the ice cream.
Well, because they said they were sending the ice cream to me and you, but somehow you ended up with all
exactly,
of the ice cream.
Ice cream like all has
Big Honey, did you get ice cream too?
See,
that's
like
if you ask me, frustrated me.
Well,
I
it all has chocolate in it. You
I don't
hate
care.
Chocolate.
No, okay. You know what I still want it.
It's no need for ice cream to go to waste on somebody that doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I wanted to get my ice
cream. Okay, well, you didn't get it. Now move on. It's a lot of shit you didn't get. Now stop it right now. So today, earlier this week, California finally came out of quarantine.
Finally. No mask, no social distancing.
No social distancing.
Unless you have not been vaccinated.
You know, it's always funny, the people who won't take the vaccination, like if your theory is right, and all the people who have been vaccinated are going to go away, and it'll just be, all it's going to be is Trump supporters and black conspiracy theorists. The motherfuckers will be hunting for rats with sticks in 2 weeks.
And fighting each other.
I'm happy the mask mandates are gone, because I'm sick of people thinking I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not a doctor?
No, I'm not a doctor.
And he can't fix our computers either. He's fucking working.
It's
interesting to me because
that you understand that when you sit in that seat,
now there's
it's
a recall potentially for Governor Newsom,
opinion,
and it was supposed to be because
to
he mishandled
and to tell the story. Somewhere along the line, whether it's through social
but the people
media
who are running against
and all of
him
these other people who think they're journalists
like people
because
who believe
someone
that
tweeted
Trump handled
it, and now they're adding their opinions to it. I think somewhere
like Caitlyn Jenner,
some
balls running for governor of California.
I mean, if anybody knows about medical advice, it's Caitlyn Jenner, right?
But now the people who are now running against him are people who support Donald Trump.
No.
I think that who support
here's
by and large,
I'm having
people who believe that Trump
all kinds of
is still the president, that he'll be coming back in August.
Believes that too, by the way.
Right.
They
were forward in
there wasn't a riot, so it's more realistic to have a compliance
Gavin Newsom.
I
think he did an exceptional job because now California's economy is
the
jewel,
old Adams
like,
is just
the number one economy
comply,
in the country again, and the economy is wrong. So he must
be
have been right.
He was right. All he did was go out to dinner. So what? You could.
You're the governor.
Who cares?
That's
you can do
all
that.
You're the parents. Wear that oath.
Do you think a bad precedent was set when Gray Davis was recalled,
and they haven't taken
to everybody started running,
they haven't taken
their hat in the ring?
But see, then we got Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he fucked California.
All that other shit.
And they voted for him because they went, "Ooh, he was on Terminator."
there. Of course he'd be a good president.
But also similar with Gray Davis. It wasn't him that was doing a bad job. It was Bush. Bush trickled down to him.
But even at that, we can expect anything from him other than the very reason that he was recalled, right?
Oh, no.
People are forwarding the notion of him being recalled.
We can't give people a free pass. We're open to
that. Race are down. The economy is ruined.
Vaccinations are up.
So what is the basis? It can't be. Is it for revenge?
Public should just be passive consumers.
Is it punitive?
Whatever information.
Because you don't even want to have a 9/11 commission. So we can't be interested in an analysis of what happened and what we could do better. But I think that's just kind of where we are right now. What I find interesting right now, and this is something I've been thinking about. The other day, earlier this week, just on a side note, we had a concert. For Sinbad.
I'm saying it is.
The genre in general.
That is
but
the problem.
Comedy in general, but just a lot to make people feel better. I think if comedy is good medicine.
And like opened a lot of doors,
you have run a lot of doors. Literally. The NBA. Like he opened doors.
You have a professional.
So we did a thing for him in Nashville where a bunch of comics, Earthquake, Isabel Crawford, and Arnaz.
We have a society now.
J. Anthony. Like a lot of people came out.
I think the clearest example of that is we smothered.
There were a lot of people that came out. Money went to
and then when we needed to have conversations about a pandemic that was killing people,
Ayers,
we had smothered truth to the extent that nobody believed anything.
I think
like right now, people won't take the vaccine.
When somebody's worked that hard.
The people that
won't
take the vaccine, it would be Trump supporters and
from the places,
black
from the venues.
That would be all that was left. If everybody, that's all that's left.
I'm a professional middle. There's no retirement plan.
I don't know how professional you are, but
it's so
subjective. When you retire, I retire. Like I get no work.
Facts
no,
that you
I'm
can just kind
of
move around.
At some point. Yeah. There's no retirement
plan. That's a scary thing.
And it really does.
You in the professional realm to just do what you do, but I don't think they have an expectation
credit, we were having a conversation about that. Something that I saw over the course of
Darnell
Frazier, who was a teenager.
To that end, who's doing a bad job?
The murder of George Floyd.
Who do you think is doing a bad job?
Won a special Pulitzer Prize. And people were, I remember how angry people were at a teenage child for not putting the camera
just gets
down.
People hurt. Who's doing
and interceding in some ways if she had
a
child.
She's a kid.
Yeah,
what is she going to do? One. She's a kid.
But that's not.
But they were upset that an award was given out.
My job isn't to call out the
We've always needed people to chronicle our pain.
My job is the rest.
So that America
could see it. But if you met one of those people, would you say that to their face?
Emmett Till was killed. His mother
left
the casket open.
I understand why you wouldn't do it here because, you know,
America
well, I know, but I'm saying you might want
so
to have that
America's
conversation
have
with
see
them
the
directly.
Consequence. And
would you do that?
Those things, absent those things, I think the movement we have had, people don't realize, like, absent the photographers first the cameras being there and watching men and women have dogs sicked on them and beaten to death, you know, beaten, you know, over having lunch. America has to see itself.
You do have
and somebody has to hold
the
mirror up. And
well,
I
the other thing is,
TV,
I think when you consider
write,
the age she was and what she was having
who
to witness, and the fact
that
she had the courage and the wherewithal to pull her phone out and record as much of it as she could.
And that's frustrating.
Absent that, where would
people
be on the verge of
I think you're right, but I think that we're such a voyeuristic society.
I don't. That's the
voyeur,
right?
Me passing out somebody videotaped that is not the same. As someone who's seeing something that shook her soul,
beautiful.
That she may never recover from. It,
my kids were
because
horrible looking, so they would have never broken my head. It was
very traumatic, but this country has always
what do you
needed.
Think? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I know
tragedy is the queen, and
she's well,
otherwise
the one
that's
going to
get you.
Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene made
biracial
that comment about the masks being like
right.
The Holocaust.
Yes.
And then she had to go to the Holocaust Museum to actually see them chronicle what the Holocaust was like for her to understand. Oh, I shouldn't have said this.
Well, I don't think she understood.
She doesn't
apologize.
That man-faced woman doesn't understand anything.
That's a good question.
She's
like one of the members from Cats. But
if there's anything
that
lasts,
but Darnella Frazier, it is sad that so many people have,
says, okay.
And I'm not enthralled by the fact that
right.
She got a Pulitzer Prize. Yeah. But if that's the kind of category that you went,
like you're born black.
It was
you know
an
black.
It,
white kids
her video shaped the way people are having a discussion. People all over the world saw.
Yeah, but the other thing is that there were other people who recorded it, but they erased it. The young guy who actually told his supervisor about the $20 bill. He recorded it.
I mean,
but he
said when he got home, he erased it because he didn't want to see it anymore.
That's why I'm saying it took courage for her to not only record it, but then to pass it on so other people could see it. And absent that, I don't think we have the verdict that we got.
I think that like people don't realize it was a video that changed people's minds about Ahmaud Arbery. It was a video that his lawyer showed thinking it would help exonerate them.
But
so we've always needed.
Yes.
I think more than Harriet Tubman, we need to be thinking to do with the Apple camera phone. That's the.
Oh,
that's,
damn.
You
know, think about that, but that's true.
It's
that's
funny because it's trickier than I thought it
this
would be.
Was interesting. Like so Lin-Manuel Miranda, he apologized for the lack of dark-skinned Latinos.
We got into a point where
in the movie
America's
The Heights, supposed to be. I don't know how you could go to what is it?
Washington Heights.
Washington Heights, yeah, and not have it's way more dark-skinned people or many dark-skinned people in the Heights.
It is
Obama. I think he apologized, you know, but I think that was deliberate. I think
because
that people like
you're
that
having some heady conversations.
There's a commercial. They want to sell a movie,
that is
and a lot of people like he. I think the darker your skin, the worse it is for business. That.
Listen, but I had a lengthy conversation with my assistant, who is Dominican, and we had this whole conversation about this. And my thing was, I get it. You know, if it were a documentary, yes, it should be accurate. But it is his perspective. It's his film about.
Look
his
like you, how
Washington
you
Heights.
Think it is
so if you don't like it, don't go see it. That's all I can tell you.
Then why did he apologize?
Well, I think he apologized because he had to. I think just like you said, he wanted to put butts in seats. And I think he's realizing now they said that it opened to a lackluster box office, did not do well. And I think following that up with people talking about this, I think it further compounds the fact that people are going to go see it.
Here's my.
He did.
Why would like there's no way that you could, it would be like me
even the doctrine
chronicling where I came from
isn't
and putting
law.
White people
it's,
there,
it's
right?
somebody's
well,
I know
he
didn't
want
to teacher or police officer
he didn't
want to
put the dark skinned Latinos in the Heights, but he had no problem casting black people as white people in Hamilton.
Yeah, right.
That is right.
We wouldn't.
And this has been going on, by the way, since 2016. It's not the very first time that he's been into this fight before.
Why do people
I think in this particular in the Heights there was a white guy who was
something that they need.
Like he's been back and forth in this same situation over and over. So I think
where's he from? He's what
I am not
Puerto Rican. Because if he is Cuban, they think they're white. So
they
do. They do. I remember watching Buena Vista Social Club, and it was an excellent documentary. And I think that people have to understand there's this sirens call that people in the creative space sacrifice authenticity for whatever potential.
They could lose their house.
Monetary
but don't doctors have that? Don't you have that? Don't I have that?
If you started cussing on the house, it's like,
here's the thing. No one
I make
gets
a movie about
to circumvent
the
system
white
of accountability. No one,
in
any profession.
Right.
So
if you
want a
movie about the Heights that is
because
with different people, make your own movie.
White people don't live in the Heights.
Just like
well, they do now.
I'm telling you.
So white people don't live in the Heights. Anytime you see a Heights, a village, a garden, it's all black people.
A terrace.
Where I'm telling you, the Heights. Mean that is low.
I expect you to use only the force.
I'm not even kidding.
You
don't see
for you not to
if
be.
If you
proven.
See a white person
if
in the Heights, it's somebody passing through asking
to,
for directions
to,
or
to
dope.
It's
nobody.
There's no way for me to hold you accountable. No
the Heights mean low as fuck is what the Heights mean.
Jefferson City, Missouri, yesterday at Lincoln University, an HBCU.
It is.
It was started by Union soldiers who put together a bunch of money. Back in the 1800s to start this university. And I went there because it's the only HBCU in America that...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed. So you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
It runs a law enforcement training academy. And the idea
and welcome back to DL Uncut.
I know I'm in a specific fraternity, not Omega, but the one
like
of comedians. And there are certain things we hold dear.
So I wanted to go.
There's certain beliefs we have. And certain people who don't kind of hold up or like live up to that belief, they're kind of on the outside of us. Do you hold journalists to the same standard as you hold for yourself? Because I think the problem is that not the people, the people who are doing what you're doing are doing what you do are supposed to be able to call you out too. And I think journalists have this thing where they go, oh, I don't want to talk about, like, sometimes shit is crazy and you get to say this is fucked up. You know what's funny? And it's always about how underpaid. Teachers are very underpaid. They're very underpaid too. And
like with who?
The teachers union had the power.
See, that's the thing. If you ask me who frustrated me, I tell you
you're underpaid. That's why there's certain jobs you don't do if you're in it for the money. There's certain things you don't do if you're in it for the money. And one of the things I've always liked about you, and I really respect it even now, is there's an earnestness. And sometimes it's a little whimsical to me because I'm like, they don't. Like, you call it Pollyanna. I'm like, that can't be. But I think that it serves a purpose. It's very disarming, and I think it serves a purpose of having people forward information that they would not. This book is out today on the same day as mine, and I hope yours does well. I'm going to push for mine to do well. What is it in this book that you feel like made you uncomfortable to reveal?
I do not express my opinion. After this, I gotta go
because
I don't want my wife to
know. Right.
The cable station
Not before the book is hit.
Right. I think there's space for that. I think there's space for that. I don't think that a lot of books, unfortunately, necessarily can make the distinction.
It was hard. But see, that's the problem. And someone's got to call that out. I mean, as a journalism major or someone who's experienced in that, you understand that when you sit in that seat, it's not your place to give your opinion. You are there to give the facts and to tell the story, period. And I think somewhere along the line, whether it's through social media and all of these other people who think they're journalists because someone tweeted it, and now they're adding their opinions to it, I think somewhere we've lost our way. So to DL's point, I think someone's got to call these people out when they're not holding people's feet to the fire when they should.
Asking him questions about, I agree with you. I would say this to
his childhood.
My journalists
childhood
should be held to a higher standard
that I never asked before.
You know, the first John Q. sent give way too much.
Like,
you
know, No.
Prison in West Virginia.
Here's the thing I'm having a problem with in just all kinds of endeavors. Even if it comes to police, we're going to talk about
his book Pops. They were my father and I journey that, and what I'm learning about.
It's more realistic
dad
to have a compliant society.
Interesting man.
Than a professional.
And your father
department
has a lot to be proud like, of. And I hope
the old
book,
adage is just learn to comply. You need to learn. No, I hire you to be more professional than me as a layperson. I should have expectations of you once you don don that oath that I haven't taken as a member of John Q. Public.
And
they haven't taken that.
Be well.
To that end, they haven't taken that oath to journalism or anything else. I'm watching TV. I'm drinking a six pack. All the other shit is on you.
That was the question.
So I'm saying we can't expect them to have I don't think we can expect anything from them other than watching.
Oh no, we can't give people a free pass.
We do.
No, but we shouldn't. Like we should not allow the public to just be passive consumers of whatever information is fed to them. I think that's how we've ended up where we are. Like you cannot tell me that a man in his 30s in his mother's basement who runs a successful blog and tries to pass it off is fact, that should be held to the same standard.
No, I'm not saying it should be. I'm saying it is.
Well, that's the
problem. It is.
That is
the
problem.
But the problem is, listen, people are going to be what they are. Like now, you're having run-ins with the fans and the NBA. Like, you have a professional mantra that you uphold. They are just, I think we have a society now. I think the clearest example of that is we smothered truth in his crib. And then when we needed it to have conversations about a pandemic that was killing people, we had smothered truth to the extent that nobody believed anything. Like right now, people won't take the vaccine. So if the people that wouldn't take the vaccine, it would be Trump supporters and conspiratorial black dudes. Yeah, that would be like, that'd be all that was left. If everybody, that's all that's left. They don't, and that's because we have no truth is so subjective. When you can have facts that you can just kind of move around, and I think that's up to you in the professional realm to just do what you do. But I don't think you have an expectation of an audience.
We should do a better job of calling it out.
To that end, who's doing a bad job at it? To that end, who do you think is doing a bad job at it?
At calling out non
at being a provocateur, a purveyor of bullshit that just gets people hurt. Who's doing that?
Well, listen, I'm not naming names. See? But that's not my job isn't to call out the other should be refs. My job is the ref.
Okay.
But if you met one of those people, would you say that to their face? I understand why you wouldn't do it here because, you might want to have that.
I
know, but I'm saying you might want to have that conversation with them directly. Would you do that?
I will tell you that over the past few years, there have been colleagues that I have met out on stories and we talk, we have honest conversations. Yeah, it comes up. I have said, I'm not naming names, but what bothers me, I will say this to both of you, and I believe this to be true. I think, unfortunately, you do have a lot of folks who are on TV, who write, who blog, who play a part, who realized at some point that there was more money to be made than trafficking in facts. And that's frustrating.
More people, look at that pretty girl right there. That pretty girl right there. That's the four-year-old, right?
That's Mr. Hughley.
How are you, my dear? How are you?
Hi.
She's beautiful. My kids were horrible looking, so they would have never broken my TV show.
That's not true.
I know.
What do you think? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions because I know that she's a queen and she's not going
to. And she's ready for you to get up. Play.
You talk about raising biracial children in your book. What do you see as the distinction between someone who is like the kind of all homogeneous and somebody who's raising children who are of a biracial marriage? What do you think the difference is?
That's a good question, B. I think that if there's anything that the last year and some changes taught us is that, there comes a point where, our country pretty much says, okay, this kid's black,
right.
This kid's white.
Right.
Society decides. And black kids aren't forced to make that decision. Like, you're born black. You're black. White kids aren't forced to make that decision.
Right.
You're born white.
Right.
And I think for a lot of biracial kids, and I've done some reading, I've talked to some friends of other biracial kids, there apparently becomes a point where biracial children basically pick a team. They identify.
America makes you pick a team. This country makes you pick a team.
Yes.
It's enshrined in language that it made you pick a team.
So I think one of the things that, again, my kids are so young, we haven't had to have a lot of these tough conversations. I want to make sure my son especially understands that, yes, he might consider himself biracial, but America is going to consider him black.
Yes.
And he'll know that. And that's, but it's funny because it's trickier than I thought it would be.
Of course.
My wife and I really did. We thought that we'd gotten to a point where America was post-racial. It's like,
yes.
And all these families it's like
everybody looked like Jason Key. Obama, everybody looked like him. What's interesting about because you're having some heady conversations in this book. You're talking about mass shooting. I think violence is spiking. You're covering that, but you want to end, or at least you mentioned qualified immunity.
Yes.
What you think is a big chip in the game? Like, you think it matters in shaping what police reform is going to look like? How important do you think it is on that scale?
Based on the conversations that I've had with police and police unions, George Floyd's family, Senator Scott, like folks who have been involved in crafting this legislation, that's one of the biggest hangups. And
here's my why would accountability be a big hangup? because even the doctrine of qualified immunity isn't law. It's somebody's notion of it. Policing is the 22nd most dangerous profession in America. We wouldn't let crabbers have autonomy. We wouldn't let airplane pilots or taxi drivers have autonomy. Why do people, even on the other side, in your estimation, believe that this is something that they need or they can't do their job?
What they have told me, and again, I am not offering opinion. What I have been told,
right,
is that police officers consider that a red line because their concern is that if a mistake is made or they have a bad day at the office or if there's some circumstance beyond their control,
then they lose their job.
They lose their job, but beyond that, they could lose their house.
But don't doctors have that? Don't you have that? Don't I have that? If you started cussing on here's the thing. No one gets to circumvent the system of accountability. No one in any profession. So there are red lines that you shouldn't cross because of the potential. I think that the idea of being a, just like crimes is deterrent from certain behavior, so are things like a qualified immunity. How do we get policing to a point where I expect a professionalism? I expect you to use only the forces necessary. I expect for you not to be brutal. If you don't have any measure to any, there's no way for me to hold you accountable. Or no consistent way to hold you accountable.
I was in Jefferson City, Missouri yesterday at Lincoln University. It's an HBCU.
It is.
It was started by Union soldiers who put together a bunch of money back in the 1800s to start this university. And I went there because it's the only HBCU in America that runs a law enforcement training academy. And the idea is to fill the ranks of law enforcement with black and brown people who understand what it's like to be policed before they become police. So I wanted to go and profile this program. I think that's one of the solutions. I think the other solution is, you know, DL, Jasmine, one of the things that we don't like to talk about in this country is we pay law enforcement, in a lot of states at least, below the poverty level. That's true. And you get what you pay for. That's part of it. But to your larger point, I know what you're asking, and I agree with you. I think I don't know the answer to the question.
You know, it's funny, and it's always about how underpaid. Teachers are very underpaid. Very underpaid too. And there is, if a teachers union had the power of a police union, we're having a different conversation. You're underpaid. That's why there are certain jobs you don't do if you're in it for the money. There's certain things you don't do if you're in it for the money. And one of the things I've always liked about you, and I really respect it even now, is there's an earnestness. And sometimes it's a little whimsical to me because I'm like, that can't. Like, you call it Pollyanna. I'm like, that's can't be. But I think that it serves a purpose. It's very disarming, and I think it serves a purpose of having people forward information that they would not. This book is out today on the same day as mine, and I hope yours does well. I'm going to push for mine to do well. But what is it in this book that you feel like made you uncomfortable to reveal?
After this, I got to go because I don't want my wife to divorce me.
Right. Well, yeah. Not before the book's
ahead.
Yeah,
that wouldn't work. Yeah.
It was hard because my father felt so guilty for so long about being so absent. I wrote the book in part as a love letter to him, to make sure that he understood that we've forgiven him and that we now understand that what he was dealing with wasn't weakness. It was sickness. It was a disease that we did not understand then. It was hard. It was hard to. I spent more than 4 hours interviewing my father, asking him questions about his childhood, my childhood, that I'd never asked before. And you know, the first line of the book, not give away too much, is, you know, my dad was born in a federal prison in West Virginia. That was hard.
His book Pops, wow. My Father, Our Journey, and What I'm Learning About Being a Dad. I tell you what, you're an interesting man. And your father has a lot to be proud of. And I hope through this book, he gets some measure of that back. That'd be great.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother.
So congratulations.
What a pleasure, man.
Jasmine, thank you. Jasmine, I'm so happy that you're the voice of reason on the show.
Almost days. Most days.
Y'all be well.
Thank you so much, Craig Mellon. We appreciate you.